So welcome, anyone. Let's see. We're going to skip the most critical items at hand this week. I think those really haven't changed recently. Let's see. So key items for review and discussion, I think, are the current sandbox, and I can Peter, why don't you talk about that now, and then I can give a little bit update on the recent SOCAP meeting.
Yes. Okay. Sandbox that we are running is still the old version as of now, with just a few spatial ontology content. Most of the other content has been kicked out, awaiting for the new install of the latest. As we reported, like, I guess, at the last meeting, we have the Stanford people made us a Xen image, but we were unable to install them, partly because I think in retrospect, a lot of miscommunication. So the whole thing was delayed. Finally, we gave the Stanford server person access to our network, and the whole thing took less than an hour. I mean, took like 20 minutes to get him the access, and another maybe 30 minutes for him to get it up to a stage. And the miscommunication, or at least partly, I guess we may be to blame as well, since we run infrastructure, we never install other people's appliances, and we didn't realize the appliance was not installed. So we had, like, I mean, when we do images, we drop an image as a VM, and it starts up, and turns out it doesn't work that way for appliances. So we dropped it and it doesn't start. So they went in and they recognized that, told us, and we should be ready to go, except for the fact that my Xen infrastructure person, Shinya Yamada, who works out of Yokohama in Japan, was over in San Francisco for his marathon run last weekend. So he didn't get to work on it, but we actually did get to go to Stanford and say hello to Mike Seder and Ray Ferguson and Alex Skunchuk and so on, which I think was socially productive. And then Shinya is back. Although right this morning I got a message from him, and he said it's still stuck at the install screen. He suspects it may be bandwidth issues, but I actually personally doubt it. I have console access, but I don't have time, so I can't work on it until this evening. So that's where things stand with the box. And I think once we get past that point, the rest should come fairly soon.
Yeah, Peter, I noticed that this looked like a discussion that was hanging at StartX. I was wondering if there was an issue with Shenya's X display or firewall issues getting back to the X display on his machine.
His what?
I assume that StartX is starting the X window system.
Yes.
And he was then wanted to connect. He would need to connect back to a display on his machine.
Right.
So I was wondering if there might be firewall issues there, or
if there were firewall issues, would he have had been able to SSH into the box?
Well, no, because X is going to basically come back to, X will normally come back to port 6000 on his machine.
Ah. Okay.
So, unless there's, I mean, there's ways you can tunnel it through SSH, or you can do some other things, but, and of course you would also need to have an X server running.
Right. That part I would know, okay. At least, I mean, if I resolved it from the console, I'll let him know and have him look into this. But he, of course, I mean, we usually use command line. We seldom use X. Maybe that's why he very seldom uses X, but he's very familiar with setting things up. I mean, I know he sets a huge bunch of things up. I mean, in the United States, in Europe, and so in the UK and so on. I mean, he most of his work actually is overseas, and he rarely travels because of work. I mean, he travels because he wants to run or cycle.
Huh.
More than when he needs to do IT work. So I'll find out. But thanks for the pointer. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Peter?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
You mentioned an appliance. What did you mean by that? Or what does that refer to? When I think of an appliance, it's a chunk of hardware with some software on it.
This is what, at least, the Stanford people label their VM image. They call
really?
It
okay.
The NCPO appliance. Maybe, Mike, you could elaborate on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the standard term for virtual machines in the virtual machine world or not.
That's what they call it.
That's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
So much for semantic.
I think the idea is that it's supposed to be a turnkey, basically just fire it up and use it, you know, rather than require any installation. And by and large, the VMware image, that's been the case, although I think this is just presumably some growing pains with the Zen image or.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about VMware. When it comes on, I mean, do you still do sort of the regular server install process?
It comes up and asks a bunch of sort of terminal-based command line questions. It may ask a few sort of, I guess, really like cursors package command line questions just about the network configuration and things like that. Mostly I've just been able to take the defaults when that happens. So it does do a little bit of server configuration for the network and DNS.
Okay. All right.
And it sounds like maybe they're trying to use a more GUI-based application for that here.
No, the GUI actually is optional.
Okay.
Yeah. GUI
okay.
is optional.
Right. So now I haven't been successful in getting a copy of the 0.4 appliance from them.
VMware?
Yeah.
I thought Chris Wetzel sent you the link lately, a few days ago.
Oh, did she? Could you check? I'm wondering if maybe the same, here a similar problem and something bouncing.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean,
by the way, with your message last night, the odd thing was when you resent it to me, although I don't know if it was clipped, I got it.
Uh-huh.
So that seems really strange. I didn't go back and look at it.
What do you mean by when I resent? I did not resent anything. I sent it to Gmail for you.
You sent to Gmail, but the Gmail is automatically forwarded to BBN, as well as being archived at Gmail. And I actually got it at BBN.
All right.
So that's
So looks like evidently the Raytheon mail. I mean, Todd, we're talking about Raytheon. and we are running into a serious problem for me sending bbn.com email to Mike because those guys are shifting to the Raytheon infrastructure.
Uh-oh, Mike, watch out.
Yeah,
yes, we are watching. I mean, we're already what's it called?
So BBN mail is going through the Raytheon mail servers first, is that correct? Is that what I heard?
Yes. So, well, at least it's going through the Raytheon spam filters. I don't think it's not going into the Raytheon email system. You know,
through the firewall security stuff.
Right.
So what is evident is that you are getting mail from the Google server and from the mailing list, the Ontolog mailing list servers.
I'm getting a lot of traffic, but it sounds like at least
and you're not getting mail from me or from maybe individuals?
I don't think it's that severe. I think there was just one message there one message thread that had a URL that it considered whitelisted or something. If you could try resending Trisha's mail to the, forwarding Trisha's mail, that would be,
I'll find the two links and I'll paste
my Gmail account. That would be great. Then we can.
I'll try to paste her links on the chat board for you.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
If I can find it.
Yeah. Actually, forwarding would be good as well,
if I forward it, I can forward it to Gmail.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be good. And because I was kind of curious to particularly, there's some of the ontologies that we're using for SOCOP, like FOF and GeoSparkle, that use slashes in the names, and I was curious whether some of the handling of that was fixed in the latest appliance.
Use what?
They use slashes instead of hash.
Oh.
It's kind of an ongoing low-scale debate in the semantic web. Either certainly should be fine, but some software doesn't basically handle the slashes properly. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's see. As far as the getting installations up, my plan, I couldn't find a convenient way to try to run the Xen image locally. So I was going to try to run the VMware image. And I wanted to kind of wait until you had these Xen image up before I asked the RSystem about running the Xen image. The Xen image would be a little easier to run at VBN because we've got a separate appliance that doesn't have other things dependent on it. So I think that... and maybe actually the compatibility, even running the same versions between Sim3 and BBM would be helpful.
Okay.
Peter, is this a good time for me to talk a little bit about the SOCOP presentations last week?
Oh, it's your meeting. Go ahead.
Okay. So
I'll edit onto the agenda.
Actually, two things for SOCOP last week. We had a... brief kind of really almost a birds of a feather session at the Semantic Technology Conference East in D.C. And I got a good turnout. We gave a lot of lively discussion, which was really good. So particularly some people who had been involved in the geospatial community but hadn't been participating so much recently. So Nancy Wiegand gave an overview of SOCOP, and I brought up some slides on OOR, basically the same ones that I presented at Oak Ridge a couple months ago. And that a lot of that got sidetracked by discussion, but I think that was a good thing. But I did quickly show the screenshots of the VMware image that I had earlier. Then the other event, which was a larger one, was the annual SOCOP workshop that we held at the U.S. Geological Survey in Ruston. And we got about probably 40 people local and another 15 or so dialing into that, and which was a good turnout, larger than last year. And there were a number of presentations that were given there. Peter, I'll add the link to the wiki page after the meeting.
Okay, great.
And so that included a SOCOP a larger version of the SOCOP intro from Nancy, and I gave the same presentation at OOR, but instead I actually gave a live demo of the appliance running on my laptop, and added some more of the geo ontologies for that. So all of those imported well and work well, so we're able to find. I think there were a couple of terms like agent, that appeared in like four of the ontologies. So you can really begin to kind of have enough richness to really see the benefit there as well as some
financial
terms. Yeah.
Was there any sense you got from U.S. or from the people that were representing USGS as to their thoughts about moving in semantic direction?
Well, they actually have a GeoSparkle endpoint that's up. Lynn Usui and Dalia Baranka have been the people that have been most active. And they're certainly very interested. They're particularly interested in the concept of the National MAP program, which, provides, is the source for, a lot of NGAs, of USGS's, best-known MAP products. And that's some of the data that they made available through the GeoSparkle endpoint.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'll add the links, and I think there was enthusiasm. We also sort of reissued the call for submitting other ontologies there as well. So, I think once we have a instance ready, that there'll be a fair amount of activity on it. So the next major milestone that we have, or presentation that we have for SOCOP, is a NSF project meeting that is in late January. So it would be very good to get these instances up, well in advance of that, because we'll actually be showing it to the NSF program manager and other potential collaborators. And SOCOP is part of a larger program called Interop that is intended to foster communities. So this will basically be all of the Interop projects getting together in Indianapolis. And we're not quite sure who's going to attend. If it it'll probably be it'll be Nancy and then some subset of the co-PIs. So I expect either Gary or I will be there, but maybe not both.
Okay, do you have a specific date?
Let's see. I do. I have to look it up for just a second. So it is January 25th through 27th.
January 25th to 27th.
Right. Now, there's actually another event that's coming up as well, and this is being hosted by Christoph Janowitz at UC Santa Barbara. There's GeoVocamp, I can add the link off the vocamp.org site as well. That's going to be February 3rd through 5th.
Okay, got it. Yeah, if you refresh, you should show up under 30E7.
Okay. Ah, good.
Let me know if I misrepresented anything.
That looks good. Yeah, I may add a few more links.
Oh, please. Yeah, afterwards.
Gathering. I mentioned some SOCOP stuff as well. So. But, yeah, that looks good. All right, shall we proceed to the postmortem of the recent OR sessions?
Yeah, we've did quite a few things, in a month's time, which is good. So there are two ontologies and standards session, two OR development sessions, and then one architecture and API joint session with NCBO. So within a month's time, this team meeting is like every month. We actually ran five events over a range of four weeks, of course, plus the team meetings. So quite active. So maybe Michael, you want to start us off?
We're
under QZYJ. So we're just looking back post-mortem on the recent OR sessions.
Oops. I'm looking on the wrong page here.
The page should read OR and then 2011-12-06. Purple number 2Z is in zebra, YJ.
Okay, yep. Okay, so in terms of the ontologies and standards series, we got off to a really good start. With Onto IOP, which is being proposed as a standard within a different part of IVISO than I guess I've kind of worked in before, that deals with terminology. Let's see what to say about that one. It's being kind of spearheaded by the group here at the University of Bremen, trying to come up with a kind of what they're calling a distributed ontology language that allows that would allow people, particularly I think with us in terms of OOR, of being able to at one level, at the metadata level, to be able to describe the meta-theoretic relationships between ontologies, particularly written in different ontology languages. So that's kind of one of the key ideas here is that we will have, and typically we'll have ontologies that are written, some are written in OWL, some are written in Common Logic, others might be written in rules languages, and we want to be able to at least compare them and understand how two ontologies are related to each other, so how a time ontology written in OWL is related to a time ontology written in Common Logic, for example. But more ambitiously, to be able to talk, to be able to reuse ontologies that are written in different languages and combine them in a way that makes sense. So they may want to start off with a kind of a biomedical ontology written in OWL that talks about how different entities are related by composition and parthood, but then extend that with other common logic axioms. And so how can you do that? How can you have one ontology written in common logic import another ontology written in say, OWL? So I think these are really big issues that we are facing within OOR in the sense that we want to have, when we say like an open ontology repository, one of the aspects of openness is being able to have ontologies that are written in different languages. So, primarily, BioPortal is restricted to OWL ontologies. We want to have something that's a little more open than that. And so I think the Onto IOP project really holds a lot of promise for that. And I think one of the things, the next big ISO meeting related to that project is in February. And I think the group wants to be able to have at least some little prototype that really shows and illustrates some kind of repository that has ontologies with multiple languages and how this the distributed ontology language will help that. With the second meeting of that series with Elisa Kendall, Elisa gave an overview of the work that's being done within the part of ISO that standardized common logic. So it's SC32 work 2. She talked about some of the other work that's going on there. For people who know the ISO 11179, but a particular interest for our group here was, ISO 19763, and this is particularly related to ontology metadata. And so we'll be talking about that in next week's session, or some aspects of that in next week's session. So there's a lot of work that's being done within that part of ISO that is of great interest to ontology metadata. It was a very great meeting. I think it was one of the more successful ones. And I encourage everyone to kind of take a look at Elisa's slides, which contain an amazing amount of information of work that's being done. I think a lot of people in the ontology community aren't really aware of all the work that's being done in that particular area. I guess that's about it, yeah.
That's great. I mean, I know it's not directly related to this meeting, but if I may ask a couple of very short questions. one, I mean, on the Onto IOP, I know this is a sticking point about, I mean, if you have the different ontologies in different language interact, I mean, there's a choice of lingua franca, and the Bremen group is in favor of developing this quote-unquote new DOL, and people like John Sower is saying that IKL would do. So without sort of committing yourself, is there merit in John's claim, or whether he's just not understanding enough what the Bremen people are doing?
Well, I think one issue is, okay, I'll just address the IKL issue just for, first. So first of all, IKL is not like a finished product. So it's not really clear what IKL is to start with. And second, with IKL, one of the things that we want, what wants to happen within Onto IOP is dealing with this kind of the metadata, the meta theory relationships between ontologies. So I want to be able to say that one ontology is an extension of another one, and how is it an extension? And IKL, even in if you take a look at all the different discussions that have gone on with IKL, none of them talk about meta-theoretic relationships, metadata.
Okay.
So there's one aspect.
An argument for a common logic there, then, Michael?
Well, no, even common logic does not deal with metadata. Common logic does not deal with – within common logic itself, you cannot say that one ontology is an extension of another one.
Really?
That's right.
I thought you were allowed to quantify over predicates.
Well, but yeah, an ontology is not a predicate. Ontology is a theory.
Yeah, no, but the predicate is about those theories.
No, you can't.
Okay, so the it's probably beyond this discussion of this meeting. So I mean, we definitely need specific meetings so that John could be convinced. Now that I've heard from you, I think we definitely would run a full 2-hour meeting. I mean, to thresh these things out. So if Todd, you could hang on.
Okay, sure.
Okay. The other thing is, this Guha meeting last week was very inspiring in that, it also, as sort of John Sower, would not let us leave without sort of re-emphasizing that, RDF and OWL has a lot to be desired. And I guess most of the world that wants scale, are going for something that's much more scalable, like, schema.org, RDFA, and so on. Is Onto IOP also handling these things?
Well, in what way would you say it's handling them?
Let's say if you can translate between different languages, is RDFA one of the language?
Yes, definitely.
Is handling.
Yeah.
I don't know how different schema.org is. I mean, whether it's even at the language level, I mean, to be handled web rendering stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to ask Till, to be Till Mostovsky to be completely sure. The first requirement is that there has to be a semantics for it. There has to be a model theory for it. But once you identify what the semantics and the model theory are, then there would need to be someone who actually did the mapping between schema.org and some other logical ontology representation language that has a semantics. Once you have that mapping, then you can chain all the other mappings together in their, what they call their logic graph.
Is the good relations implementation on your radar screens, on the Bremen radar screen? I mean, do you guys look closely at what Martin Happ has done?
Well, it's the group here at Bremen is primarily interested in this kind of these mappings between ontologies and relationships between ontologies. They don't really focus so much on specific ontologies. I guess that's kind of like the role that they were hoping I would play more. And so to that extent, because, all they would do is to say, well, what language is good relations written in? I mean, there's an OWL axiomatization of good relations. And so to that extent, they would just say, well, then you would use the OWL mapping to then connect it to other ontologies. I think maybe where it would be of most interest would be where you wanted to be able to integrate good relations with some other e-commerce ontology or some other kind of ontology, and you want to be able to combine them together in a particular way. But they don't really worry about specific ontologies too much.
They're not the ontology, but very much, I mean, they were the first people who claimed that they took their OWL ontology and now it's sort of schema.org compatible.
Well, that
I think
then is
the interesting part in to see how or what he needs to do to make that claim.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the thing to do then, to use that as a way of evaluating whatever the language mapping is between schema.org and other ontology languages. I'm pretty sure that mapping has not been done. No one really looks at that mapping. But that's what the group at Grayman would worry about. They would pose this question as, how is schema.org related to RDF, or how is it related to OWL, right, at the logic level?
Mm-hmm.
And then, how would I map this particular ontology? Well, that would kind of be a consequence of how I map the ontology language.
Yeah. So, and you guys are close, right? Martin happens probably fairly close to where you guys are.
In terms of location?
Location, yeah.
Yeah, Martin is in Munich.
Yeah,
so not too close geographically. I talked with Martin at ISRIC a little bit, but we didn't talk about schema.org and coding specifically.
Mm. Great. Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Back to Mike.
Okay. I'm glad you touched on the Guha telecon. I missed that because of Suntech East, but I assume there's a recording of that available?
Yes, the recording is available, but much more interesting is the ensuing email exchange on Ontolog Forum.
Ah.
Are you seeing those?
Okay.
Are you subscribed?
I am subscribed.
Put them away.
I haven't read them. So
it's interesting. It's very interesting because, I mean, it's sort of defamatory to RDF, but it's very good.
Okay, well, I'm used to that. Okay. Let's see.
I'm just joking, it's really good.
I assume we're actually, I think we're done with the postmortem, unless somebody has anything else to add. We're here.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and talk about the upcoming OR event?
No, not quite yet. We're not through with the postmortem. There are five items of the postmortem. We went through the first two.
Okay.
Under
so,
two.
Let's see. Do we want to talk about the joint NCBO OR session last week?
Do you have anything to talk about the take four, five, and six on OR development?
I don't think I have anything to add there. I sent my comments to Paul Alexander. He made some updates to his tutorial on adding new widgets to the Ruby on Rails. So I haven't been able to execute that yet until I get the VO4 image, but. Hopefully that was a productive dialogue and it will help other people that are doing that. I don't think that actually really came up on the subsequent discussion, but it's still a useful extension capability that we should probably try out more, and I think will be helpful for some of the work that we're doing with SOCOP.
Mm-hmm. Are you or is someone still sort of trying to put up a Eclipse model Eclipse development platform, IDE, for, let's say, students or the rest of the group as something that someone could sort of sit down and start working? I mean,
if I look through the repository, and, you know, there are a set of Eclipse project files there. So one should be able to basically build a new project, and so it kind of depends on what one wants to do. So if you want to make, one could import those projects and use pieces of those. If one wants to kind of make it fork a branch and, you know, make changes to that base, that's probably the best way to do it, and then you can actually just essentially work with their projects that they've defined.
But is this what we will be doing, at least at the start, or at least we hope to do?
Well, I think it depends on what we're doing. So, I think there's some things that could probably be done at the UI level.
Mm-hmm.
That would require some knowledge of the services, but wouldn't necessarily require even importing any of the projects. I don't think we quite got an answer on whether they have sort of some standard client libraries for accessing the APIs. But I did take it as a good sign that they were looking to normalize things, and I assume that may include some use of, I'm drawing a blank on the name, but some of the tools that can be used to more easily generate client stubs for calling their services. So that should be a good step going forward.
Okay. So
I think that's the only real thoughts I had on Eclipse at this point.
Right. And I guess as a by way of reporting, I had a follow on exchange with Ray Ferguson and asked him when the next appliance image is going to be released, and he came back last evening and said they're aiming at February for the next release, but they suggest we get started on this one. And I asked him, because one of the things that sort of got us partially stuck in the branch is that they were in the process of getting rid of all the Flash and things and replace it with GWT, the Google Web Technology. I asked whether he's through with that, and he said he's partially done with V.0.4, which is the image that we're installing and will be done by the February image. So we're in the middle of that. They are in the middle of that.
Go ahead.
So in review of the November 29 session, maybe Todd, again, it's not here, you and but it was mostly you who ran that session. So thoughts from the November 29 session?
I think it was excellent, and we really have to congratulate Ray for taking the time to put together those slides, but more importantly, answering my somewhat random questions. I think he gave us a lot of insight as to what BioPortal wants to do and sort of where they're going, and really importantly is where they're not going to go.
Exactly. I mean, he sort of answered our question as to what should we go with, where should we go with them, and where should we focus our efforts, I mean, if we want to be complementary, and he stated them all. And I guess the answer is, I mean, is that the route we should take? I mean, do we have extensions to those? Of course, Mike brought up a federation, which was not mentioned in either one, and I guess he sort of acknowledges.
Yeah, the initial cases, I think the initial cases they have to import, I don't know how selective it is. I was looking back, and I was curious about the import-export capabilities, and I think that uses the same, update capability uses the same mechanism basically to, in both cases, they basically pull metadata and ontologies from an existing OAuth instance, which could be the previous version. And so I think that's a useful step. For importing ontologies, you may want to have finer granularity. And even for the update, I want to double check this, but being able to actually persist the results to a file in between would be really helpful, both for sort of archival and disaster recovery, and also in the case where you don't, if there's a situation where it's not practical to run both the old and the new instances at the same time.
Right. I think that that's definitely where we could provide value in the way they're doing it. I mean, I think they're more concerned with almost like full replication.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Than anything else.
Yeah. And do you see an issue with the update in terms of having both old and new instances running at the same time at 10.3?
What do you mean by, no, not at all. I mean, I'm well prepared to run multiple instances. As we mentioned, we should at least have a sandbox, a production box, and maybe, a number of development boxes.
So,
in terms of the development box, I mean, I can easily see a few different iterations of it going. Maybe some hosted at SIM3, others not hosted at SIM3, for example, hosted at BBN or NEU or Toronto, wherever.
Right, okay. So that's probably less of a problem for you. I think for our system and folks, they would rather probably say, you know,
just
replace,
one button.
But not necessarily have to, you know, start up a new instance, give it a temp name, and then switch it back and
Well, we will definitely have no problem. I mean, doing multiple instances, so toss them to us.
Right. Okay. All right. So that's a good data point.
Hey, sorry. This is Brian. Can I ask a question of this group?
Sure.
Please.
So, Ray Ferguson's report out, he described what they're going to be doing and what they're not going to be doing. And it seemed to me that if they were going to have like an open source development platform where they have a dedicated developers doing the core stuff and then allowing people to do add-ons or plugins or APIs, it seemed everything was just about right, except the one issue that you guys have already talked about here is that mapping ontologies to each other, that seems like that can't be a plug-in. It seems like it has to be internal to the core. Is that how you guys see it, or is that not how
no.
you see
it? No, it's a plug-in on top of plug-ins, Brian. Again,
okay.
because the specifics of the relative languages, and Michael could probably say more about this, you're going to have to mediate across multiple languages, so I don't think it can be core in any fashion. Michael, you have more to say?
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends what you mean by core. Well, also on mapping, but by core in terms of like software functionality, or you mean kind of in terms of a high priority desirable feature?
I think of it in terms of two things. One, operational, who does it? And second of all, then that leads into it's also core. It's the stuff that the lead developers for that project work on and not others.
Yeah, I think within this particular group, I don't know, I'll let everyone else kind of make their comments, but I've had more of an emphasis on mappings between ontologies and focusing on that aspect. That's been my big interest in the OOR project. And for me, that's kind of a very important kind of functionality. Now, exactly how that gets implemented, I mean, that's kind of like that's the big question. I think that we're still grappling with.
Yeah, and personally, I think that what Michael is thinking of in terms of mapping is probably not synonymous with what Natasha Noy is thinking of mapping.
That's true too, yeah.
Very different. So
isn't natural language wonderful?
Peter, do you know what are they using prompt based? So I was a little surprised that they're planning to automatically compute essentially the cross product mapping of all the ontologies and just kind of maintain that. It wasn't quite clear to me. Are they using prompt for that or some other?
I don't know the real answer, but I would suspect. I mean, if it's not prompt, it's something that sort of evolved from prompt, because Natasha has always been sort of the key driver on like mapping or mapping related issues, and prompt was her baby before.
Right.
What is prompt, time? Michael?
So prompt is one of the algorithms that have kind of been developed within the Stanford group, particularly by Natasha. And what prompt is trying to, what you're trying to do, so their sense of ontology mapping is identifying particular terms and classes within two different ontologies, so that even though the classes have different names, you want to be able to identify them as being really the same underlying class. And so they've been developing algorithms on how to actually do these sorts of correspondences, I guess, if you will. I think the guys in Ontawaya make this distinction as well. I think they call those correspondences. And like Peter was saying, mappings are kind of big logical axioms between theories.
No.
But so architecturally, you guys think that the way NCBO BioPortal is headed is logical, because I thought it was all logical except for the mapping. I thought that had to be internal or core, but it seems that some of you at least think that can be a plug-in that takes place really outside of BioPortal.
There's a web services interface for accessing and storing mapping. So you could certainly run another tool that basically contributed additional mappings on top of the automated ones that they're providing.
Yeah, but be careful, Brian. They're assuming everything is an owl. And subsequently, they can then make those capabilities, if you like, part of the core software or core architecture. But if we want to go across ontologies, well, then our notion of mapping has to be able to interact with those plugins that support those particular languages. Now, as Michael just pointed out, that maybe there is a core component that deals with the, if you like, the configuration management issues of the existence of mappings, but not the actual process of creating them, either automatically or manually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I forgot that they were only concentrating on OWL. Okay.
Right, and besides, I think most of the time they are dealing with, really dealing with terminologies.
Yeah, they're doing correspondences between classes and correspondences between properties.
Right.
The actual terms that are being used.
Right. And just sort of to ground your example, Mike, about not having a full axiomization, I mean, that would be not, you would identify that length in one was equivalent to length or size in another, but it wouldn't necessarily accommodate unit conversion that one was.
That's right, yeah.
No.
So. Now, since we're talking about BioPortal, I did manage to go back and I got their source code, Peter, finally.
You did?
And I did the reverse engineering on it. And in fact, they have a package called Service. And under that, there's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, almost a dozen, a little more than a dozen separate services. And in looking at them, I think that would support our notion of workflow in terms of these core services that have to be there. So they have services like Concept and CUI Concept, which I don't understand entirely yet, and difference in encryption, and loading, and logging, and mapping, and metadata, and user, and notes, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. So I'm going to try and get that cleaned up and be able to post that. I'll have Ray review it first if he wants to. I must say that they've cleaned up the organization of their code immensely, and the amount of annotation in terms of describing what these things are supposed to be doing has improved greatly also, though it's not the best, shall we say. There's still things that you have to sort of infer the intent from the terms that they're using, so you might not be too far off. But again, I'll try and see if I can pester Ray gently if they can get their comments more complete.
Cool, that's great. That's
it's a lot easier to look at the UML packages and sub-packages and so on than trying to actually schlep through the code and look at the directory structure.
Yeah, I'm actually slightly surprised that Ray says they're not going to sort of put a lot of focus on tackling workflow.
Well, again, since they're only working with OWL, you sort of only need one workflow.
No, I don't think he's talking about workflow at that level, but sort of the wider level in terms of how people would interact with ontologies or operate with ontologies. I mean, that's a big thing. This collaboration workflow is a big thing at Protégé, and I think it's sort of one of the key things Tanya Todoroki put into Protégé.
That's more of a pragmatic decision, Peter. You know, it's cost a lot of money and time to get that stuff working and design it halfway decently. So I can understand why he would want to avoid that if he could.
So I maybe at one point I probably would like to clarify with him. Maybe he said they're not doing it just representing the BioPortal team will not be doing it, but let's say overall Stanford. I mean, maybe that whole piece could be brought over from Protégé, especially because they are putting a lot of focus into integrating the ontology editing platform with the ontology storage platform, I mean, the repository platform.
I defer any comment that to Ken. He knows more about dealing with the workflow engines and the problems involved with it.
Yeah, because workflow also is one of the key pieces that we try to bring to the table. I mean, by way of what Ken calls the gatekeeper piece.
Yeah.
So.
And since they have these services broken out fairly cleanly, I think we'd be able to implement the workflow process on top of those.
Okay.
Without too much pain and suffering.
On your reverse engineering, how well are they implementing the policy piece? Because, I mean, that's also one piece in the gatekeeper that is stopping us from moving from sandbox to production.
Okay, I haven't looked through everything that closely,
piece.
But I can't remember seeing anything about policy explicitly unless they're using some different terminology for it.
Yeah, so if they have a policy piece, then we could just implement, or if they don't, then we need to build that piece because that's the threshold of getting us from sandbox to production.
Now, they do have another package of sub-packages called Manager, and they have all sorts of managers in here, and there's some correspondence mapping to the services, but it's not one-to-one. So perhaps I have to look through this manager code and see if that's where they're representing the notion of policy.
Tell us more when you have done this the analysis. Yeah, this is interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to have to drop off, Peter. Michael. Brian.
Bye.
Okay. Thanks, Todd.
Bye.
Okay, do we have some more discussion for the postmortems?
No.
Okay. Sorry for trying to jump ahead there a little bit. Let's see. Do we have any member activity updates?
I suggest we skip that and maybe handle one more item, which is the activity planning.
I agree. That sounds good. Okay. And I assume that's the major focus of that is the two upcoming workshops.
Right.
So, Michael, that's probably in your court.
Right. So I have resent the invitations to Harold and Mike Bennett. The idea being that what we want to do in the next session next week is kind of get some new perspectives on ontology metadata, particularly with Harold and the work that he had. He raised this, I think, initially in the standards session with Elisa, the CTS2 work. And so, and that was also raised again, I think, at the other session that we had with the ontology representation working group. So I'm hoping that Harold will be able to give, maybe not a presentation, but at least kind of, infuse the discussion with the work that he's been doing with CTS2 and also the relationship, with OMG. So the ontology representation working group, I think, has been doing a lot of investigating with OMG. And so I want to get a little more detail from them on, what they see as some of the shortcomings, et cetera. So, and then Mike Bennett also has, Peter informed me, I guess, Mike Bennett has some material that he also wants to be able to present. So that's the two items for next week's agenda.
When you say Harold, that's Harold and Sherry, right? Because I believe that Brian would know this better. Did Harold and Sherry work together on what they call the metadata crosswalk?
This is Brian. So Sherry did a high level one, and Harold did the low level one. So Sherry did it across four different models, I guess, and Harold did it strictly between CTS2 and OMV.
So there's actually room for two different presentations on a slightly different vantage point, would you say? Or is it the same piece of work?
You could probably have one of them, and probably Harold's better because he did the in-depth one, go over both of them, and then Harold would be probably better prepared to answer specific technical questions. So, yeah, I think one is fine. Harold is fine.
Okay, good.
That's good. Yeah. But we definitely want Sherry to join us at the session. So,
yeah, sure. You know. She would appreciate an invite, but she's incredibly crazy busy these days, so don't know if she would have time.
Great. So if you're meeting them again this Thursday, let them know that we're actually set for them to present next Tuesday.
Okay.
If by then they still didn't realize it, but I'm sure by then they would.
I'll remind them. But Mike, was it Mike that had invited them?
Yeah, I kind of resent the message to Harold for the invitation.
Did he respond?
Well, I just resent it, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, not the first time, but the second time, I'll see what we get here.
And if by Thursday you discover that, I mean, for some reason, I mean, they have a conflict or something, please let us know quickly.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Oh, and then I guess the other event that Peter had listed here was the next in the series of ontologies and standards. But unfortunately, I won't be available, so we're going to postpone that session. It'll be on common logic and kind of the latest work that's being done there, but we're going to have to push that back.
Do you have a new date? Or?
Not yet. I'm still talking with Fabian. I think will be the lead person for that, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it'd be nice to have Pat and John and et cetera, but I think Fog is the one that's going to end up doing most of the work.
Yeah, it would be great to have a whole panel. I mean, partly partly because, I mean, it's always nice to gather a bunch of people and be a more lively discussion. We have had Common Logic and IKL presentations before, actually. I mean, on the Ontolog archives. I mean, of course, that was even before Common Logic was known as Common Logic. It was called SCL at that time. Chris Menzel presented on it. And then Pat Hayes did present sort of a follow-up after Common around the time Common Logic was adopted into ISO, and he did present ICRIS and IKL. So
right. Well, the purpose of the meeting, I think, would be a little more of a working meeting in the sense of identifying kind of open issues with Common Logic right now and what needs to be some of the high priority things that need to be added to it now, and also just to kind of reinvigorate some of the group in terms of its engagement with the standards community. It's kind of become disengaged since it actually became a standard, but you know, in terms of future work and updates, we need to have a person who's kind of within both communities. The other thing is the delicate, issue of, incremental updates and corrections to Common Logic as a standard versus really opening it wide open, I think, which is what John Sowell wants to do. Almost make it, the new version of Common Logic to be equivalent to this IKL. IKL, never was really an official project. It kind of was an outcome of it wasn't a DARPA project, it was NSA funded.
It was a DTO project, I think.
Yeah. So, but then it never really kind of carried on after that. I mean, it carried on in certain informal discussions, but never really carried on in a major way. I think John Sowa has bigger ambitions. Actually, what did my father used to say? My eyes were bigger than my stomach. At the dinner table, I think he's overly ambitious, I think, in terms of what would be done in the next phase or the next steps. I think minimally things like namespacing, for example, Common Logic doesn't have any way of doing namespacing, which really limits it in terms of being applied to the web. So that's a very high priority item that needs to be added, and that would be kind of the kind of issue that would be the focus for this upcoming session.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like I say, wide open, let's put non-monotonic logic in Common Logic idea.
Yeah. I mean, you are sort of uniquely in a position to pull this off. I mean, if we can get all the big guns, I mean, into one room, it's almost like the Ontology Summit. I mean, the Upper Ontology Summit days. I mean, if you can pull these off and then the Onto IOP, I mean, till particularly in the same room and try to iron out some of the issues, at least allow the CL people to voice and brag about, I mean, what they can do, and I mean that would be nice, because the next time around Till will probably be in the defensive on why Onto IOP needs a DOL.
Right.
So, with Fabian helping you, that would be nice. I mean, maybe he can get Chris Menzel to join us too. Chris has been extremely stingy about sharing his time with Ontology people lately.
No, exactly. I think he's kind of made a commitment to kind of return to his philosophy roots, and so he hasn't really done any Ontology work lately as a result.
Yeah, but
it's hard to get him back.
Yeah, but he definitely will have good things to contribute. So
right.
And Fabian probably could convince him. I don't know.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, we'll try. Yeah.
Peter, did you want to comment about the Ontology Summit brainstorming session on Thursday?
Not a lot of comments, but I want to put a plug on the Ontology Summit. It's coming up fairly shortly, as we had done over the last past few years, we would have a brainstorm and community input session to finalize on the theme and sort of the general direction we're going, and also solicit people to volunteer and help run tracks, help provide leadership, help provide organizational work, writing work, research work, and so on. So hopefully, this is the sort of last chance before the formal launch. The formal launch would either be in the first week or the second week of January. And this would be the session whereby we will tie down the theme and identify people and groups. So please come and please volunteer. As a sort of preview, calling from all the input, I mean, from the postmortem session of the last summit to things that people had put up onto this suggestion page, generally it boils down to a few things, like what ontologists can do with software engineers or the software engineering community, what ontology people could be or should be doing with the conceptual modeling, architecture, system engineering type folks, and how this sort of this combined force can help solve big problems, and of course, what's hot these days is the big data problem, and so the themes will revolve around those few concepts. Of course, we'll need to land on a sexy label, so to group the people together. So generally, it will be these. So one could see sort of teaming up with OMG folks. I mean, the usual suspects, the Elisa Kendalls, the Corey Kosanave, and then bringing in some of the people who are working on data, big data in particular, let's say the data.gov, bioinformatics, health, electronic health records type people, and so on, into a room and see how ontology could sort of make a dent on helping solve those problems. So that's the general thing. It's not locked in concrete yet, but by this Thursday, hopefully things will be a lot clearer, and past that, an organizing committee will be formed. So far, the co-organizers, meaning the six people, NIST, NIST, NCOR, NCBO, IAOA, NITRD, and Ontolog. I mean, the six co-organizers have gotten together for three prep sessions to get ready for this community session. So please come.
Great.
Yeah. Brian, you are on OOR. Are you on Ontolog forum?
I don't think I am, because I didn't get those emails that you referred to.
Right, but you did get the Ontolog invitation email, which is the announcement list.
Yeah, I did.
So you might take a look at the Ontolog forum is a lot higher traffic, but it's also much more rewarding if you enjoy those discussions. So take a look at the archives and drop me a note. Oh, there's a membership thing at the front page of the wiki that would sort of guide you on how to get onto that. It
yeah,
probably would be of interest.
I took an action item that I'll announce your Thursday meeting, because it happens after our meeting on Thursday, if any of our ORWG want to join you guys for that.
Oh, yes, please, please.
Sherry, Harold, and Stuart, and Trish. Well, Trish might be on there anyway, so, okay.
That would be great.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, NCBO is actually one of the co-organizers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mark, represented by Mark, I mean, in our meetings, generally, Mark Musin. Okay, great. Hey, thanks for the opportunity to put in the plug, Mike.
Becky. Oh, thank you for being willing to answer my ignorant questions.
I think it's the very intelligent questions. Mike.
Okay, let's see. Are there any other OOR events that we want to try to line up at this point?
Good question.
Critical mass of potential volunteers left or not.
Right. I mean, the only people who are driving sessions are Michael, yourself, and then Ken and Todd. And Ken and Todd is not here. Michael, we've asked, and he doesn't have a date for the next Autology and Standards one. But you will be working on one, right?
Yes, of course.
So reserve a date with me or on the calendar.
Okay. I might have to set up a doodle poll, like you said, if you really want to have John and Pat and Chris Menzel, then I think I'll have to set up a doodle poll with them to try to, winnow down some dates for them, and then I'll propose the dates to you.
Sounds great. I mean, don't take me too seriously. I'm just suggesting. So.
No, it's a good idea. Not sure how feasible it will be, but it's a good idea. So we'll see.
Okay, are there other things we want to cover today?
No.
Okay. I guess one quick question might be when we want to do another project meeting. We're planning on doing them basically, is it once a month at this point?
Try again.
The next OR team telecon, are we doing those nominally once a month at this point?
I think we have it locked in the first Tuesday of every month to be the team meeting.
Okay.
And then the other 3 weeks or whatever number of open weeks would be for workshops.
Right.
So the next meeting would be the
January.
3rd. Yeah, January the 3rd.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
No, not from me.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I think this was
great meeting. Yep. Thank you.
Adios.
Oh.
Bye.
Thank you. Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next week, next Tuesday.
Yes, next Tuesday.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
So, Michael, I would need to work with you offline on the logistics for next Tuesday.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll have a better picture by Thursday morning. So.
All right, great. Okay. Talk to you then. You're coming Thursday, right?
Yes.
Good.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.